The Bert Show.
You guys know The Fray? This is what The Fray sounds like with hit songs right here. We are in our in-home studio. I was just telling these guys it's funny that there are people in the building that won't say hi to us in the halls, but when we have The Fray in, man, hey, I love The Bert Show, man. I'll be in there for that.
I hear The Fray's going to be here today. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. The Fray should be walking in here any second now.
Yeah, so we're in a separate room from the regular studio that is all decked out as a performance space. And we've got some Bert Show and Q100 listeners in here to enjoy this special performance, this private VIP performance of The Fray.
Yeah, they've been winning over the last couple of days. And The Fray should be walking in here any couple of minutes. Jen and I were talking earlier. Like, The Fray is one of these bands that you just don't read. Like, there's just not a lot of rumor. Paparazzi not following them around. It's just not like what they are. They're about music.
Yeah, they really are dedicated to the music, and I think their fans follow them because of that. But you're right, there's not a whole lot of ups and downs or crazy rumors or TMZ's not following them everywhere. So pretty clean-cut band, and, you know, stick to the basics.
Yeah, no one's dating a celebrity. You don't see them throwing up in the middle of the night, stuff like that.
They're all married, too.
Yeah.
So
I don't even know what we're going to talk to them about.
Well, I think there's a lot to explore there about, you know, I mean, the music industry is in a different place right now. Bands are having to tour a lot more to be able to make money. And so they're out on tour a lot more. I wonder how their wives are feeling about that. So
yeah,
I have to ask them.
I think I read yesterday also, although you never know what you read on the internet, that two of the guys were in like rival high school bands.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even like each other for a while. And then out of necessity, they kind of came together and like, hey, this works pretty well. I like you now.
Hey, you're kind of good at this.
Yeah, let's make money.
Yeah.
So, all right, The Fray, we ready to go? Let's bring them on in. Here they are.
Woo!
The Fray. The Q100 Studios walking in right now. Isaac and Joe, Dave, Ben, The Fray at Q100.
Welcome.
That is the, there are four guys in here that have the, damn, we played late last night. I can't believe we got to be up early to do this. But we're glad you guys came. How you guys doing this morning?
Good, man. How you guys doing?
Thanks a lot for coming on in.
No problem. Thanks
now,
for having us.
You guys played Variety Playhouse last night?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How'd it go?
Good. Actually, it was a really good show.
Are there times where you guys, I think a lot like our show also, there are some days where we come in studio and there are some days we're all clicking, and there are just some days that we just all suck.
Right.
What's that?
How's today?
Today? It's too early to tell. I'll let you know over the next 15 minutes. So do any like live performances stand out where you guys just all rocked it one night and another one where you guys just all just sucked?
This one might be one of those. Hopefully it's a good one.
It's going to be one of the
other. It's going to be one or the other. It's going to go either way.
Anytime in touring where like one night just stands out where you're like, yeah, that's what we got to remember and that's what we want to do every night.
Yeah, actually, there's a venue in Denver called Red Rocks, and U2 recorded under a blood red sky there, and a lot of famous bands played there. Beatles played there and stuff. And we had a show there that it rained at, and everybody stayed. Actually, probably like some of the dudes left, but for the most part, everybody stayed. And I don't know, we all just clicked, and we actually had to like cover the instruments so that Dave and Joe didn't get shocked to death. So it might have been a funner show for me than them, but yeah. I felt like we had synergy that night.
Do you guys after like after a show like sit down and go, okay, this is what worked and this is what didn't work, or you just we'll do it again tomorrow night?
Yeah, we used to videotape each show.
And then go back and look
and
at
go
it.
Go back. Yeah, well, it kind of worked, but you'd end up, you know, you're on tour and you're videotaping a show, and then you get on the bus, and by that time it's like 2 a.m. and then 3 a.m.
Who wants to watch the show
again? Who wants to watch the show? And Ben was usually the guy watching from the couch for maybe the first couple songs, and then you'd come in and get, you know, water or something, and he's just...
Past that.
Yeah, dude. Show's not that boring.
Bored by it at that point. Yeah. It's The Fray on The Bert Show on Q100 this morning.
We were talking about this before you guys came in, and we were wondering about with the state of the music industry, bands touring a lot more now to support themselves. How are all of your wives feeling about you guys being out on the road?
Good. I think the state of the industry doesn't really affect them. We're leaving, whether it's going to be good money or bad money. The state of the industry is kind of freaky just from our standpoint, tour-wise and all that. Just gas prices may go up or whatever. But I think for the most part, like people have always listened to music. People will always listen to music, and the way they get it's changing. And It's going to be okay, everyone.
Is it affecting your families at all because you guys are out more? Are they used to it by now?
Oh, well, definitely the first like 2 years when we're, you know, slumming it and having to ask for a loan to pay your bills. That's when it gets a little hard because they're like, I need to buy some groceries and you're gone for like, you know, a month at a time. We had to like put in the time to break the band and do the thing. And it's a little easier now because we can say, well, we're going to go for 3 weeks and then come back for a week or 2 weeks. So we kind of have like time frames now. So
is the mentality of what was going to be your future wise more like, look, this is a band, this is what we're signing up for. So it's not going to be so shocking if they're on the road that many weeks. It's sort of knew what they were getting into.
I think we've learned how to do it healthy now. So, it's a different dynamic than it was the first couple of years, but, we didn't know what we signed up for. So
yeah.
I don't think they could anticipate anything.
Do they ever travel with you guys? Do you bring them on the road?
Yeah, they come out. It kind of sucks because your life comes to a screeching halt when you come on the road, and we have stuff to do, which is cool, but they just sort of sit around and check out the local museum or something. So, you know, it's kind of boring for them, but they come out every couple of weeks, yeah.
Could you pinpoint a time where they were used to be really excited to be out on the road with you? Was there one specific city where they're like, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm so sick of this.
Yeah.
No, it's
I heard a yeah in there somewhere.
No, they're so supportive, man. I don't think we could do this without them. And it sucks because on one hand, like, I wish I was single, as weird as that sounds, because you wouldn't have anybody to miss, you know?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, we wouldn't have anybody to go home to either. So it's like, it sucks on either side.
I'm happy, though.
Oh, you're happy?
I think we're happy. We're happy,
it's
guys.
It's early, man. You ask me in 2 hours, I'll have a totally different answer.
Well, we'll talk more to the fray here in just a couple of minutes, but we want to hear some stuff off the new album, which comes out February 3rd. Is that right?
Yeah.
I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Tuesday.
Well, let's Tuesday. Do what you want to do, guys. It's your time. It's the fray on
Q1. Are we clicking? You guys on? We're good?
I'm feeling it.
All right, we're feeling it.
A definite energy going on.
I found God on the corner of First and Namaste, where the West was all but one. All alone, smoking his last cigarette. I said, where you been? He said, ask anything. Where were you when everything was falling apart? All my days were spent by the telephone.
Surrounded, surrounded.
on Q100. Can you guys feel a hit when you're in the studio? I mean, you guys had Over My Head and How to Save a Life. Specifically with those two songs, was there something special about those two where you were there in studio going, okay, all right, those are a little different. That might be a hit right there.
We're not very good at the whole what's going to work at radio thing, but I remember the first time recording How to Save a Life. It was like right on the edge of like what we understood and what we knew, kind of like what we were comfortable with. And I'd love to like sing about stuff we figured out years ago, and you're like, let me tell you my wisdom. Yeah. And that stuff is like right on the border, so it's kind of uncomfortable to sing about that stuff. It's still uncomfortable just because, you know, you're like being vulnerable in front of a bunch of people. I mean, you guys just seem nice, but I never met you before, you know? And it's like imagining walking into a Starbucks and being like, hello everyone, I'd like to tell you all about the things that I don't know. So that's hard, but I think that was the theme, if there was any, about those first two songs. They're both really vulnerable.
How do you guys write songs as a band?
We get them on this website. It's like
hits.com.
Hits.com. It's probably a real site.
This radio rating thing.
Which format would you like to succeed in? No, we have a bunch of little snippets and little, it's like a junkyard kind of back home. We just walk around and we're like, this looks like a good piece of bumper or something, you know? And then we start to put things together.
Do you guys all write the lyrics? Do you write the lyrics and then the band helps put together the music? Like, how does it come
Everybody's
together?
Good at something different, so we all sort of like bring it together. Some of us write first and then bring it to the other guys, and it's kind of a weird process. We haven't really figured it out yet, so we'll get back to you as soon as
we figure it out.
Nailed down, yeah.
You guys ever bump heads? Like, one guy is sure we should go in this direction, and another guy should never.
No. We're
liars.
We are in perfect unison.
Liars.
Like four swabs.
Absolutely lying, man. What do you do when there's a stalemate? That should have been the question. What do you do when there's like one guy thinks you should go in one way, another guy thinks you should go a different direction?
We vote, actually. It's usually what we do.
Call our manager.
Isn't like my guitar line.
Paper, rock, scissors always works. That's good.
Yeah. Actually, we're surprisingly diplomatic about things. Yeah. I think we talk through it until everybody feels comfortable.
Yeah.
Who picked the name of this new album?
Actually, our producer suggested it. We had written a list of probably 8-10 different options, and nothing was sticking. And he's like, self-titled. You should think about self-titled. So it started brewing us, and then it made sense. Like, you know what? Why not?
Yeah.
Let's just self-title it. So, yeah.
I want you guys to bring us back to that time. You know, you were talking about how you weren't even sure the Fray was really going to be the Fray eventually. I want to talk about that time where you guys weren't the Fray yet, and you were just about to be signed. I'm always a little bit curious about this. Like, is it a little bit like a hot high school football prospect that's being scouted by colleges, and you're getting calls all the time from different labels going, we want you, we want you, we want you. Talk to us about what that time is like.
You know, it's scary and extremely exciting at the same time. The free dinners are really good.
That's against NCAA rules.
We literally, yeah. Well, NCAA. We literally, we
you threw them off.
Really, that's
sports.
You
sports analogy. Sports has nothing to do with us. We don't do that thing.
Do you remember when we had the deal like ready to go and we hadn't signed anything yet? But I said, do you remember? There was this time when
I do remember, Isaac. That's funny that you mentioned.
Why don't you go ahead and tell that story? We were ready to go with Sony, and there was another label that like jumped in fourth quarter, and they're like, we need you. We're flying a man out tonight. So
we're going to sign you.
We got this phone call, and the guy's like, I'm at the hotel. Where do you guys want to meet? And we're like, oh, I'll call you back. So we called our manager, and he's like, do not, under any circumstances, go to dinner with that man.
No, but the big thing the night before, because I knew he was coming out and everything, you might not know.
I was in the dark.
But Dave was like, I called Dave because Dave's our food guy, and if you don't know, he does like reviews on restaurants and all this. He's
pretty big deal.
He's a big deal, big deal. So I asked him the night before. I was like, so where should we go to dinner tomorrow night? What's a good spot that we haven't been to yet? And he told me like some Kevin Taylor in Denver. So we were planning on just having a great dinner,
free dinner,
and not so much signing a deal. But the guy didn't know that. If you're out there.
Yeah, the guy's like, that was freaking me. Anyways, yeah, it's a very tumultuous time.
Yeah, but an exciting one. You look back at it and like, that was pretty cool time, or was it more stressful than anything else?
More stressful?
Yeah, it was very stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're, I mean, you're like picking, it's like a marriage or something, you know? You're picking who you're going to be with for
the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's something like that. But yeah, it was super scary sometimes, yeah.
Well, let's hear some more stuff off the new CD here. It's The Fray, live on The Burt Show and Q100.
Things we don't talk about, rather do without, and just hold the smile. Falling in and out of love, ashamed and proud of, together all the while. You can never say never, while we don't know when, but time and time younger now than we were before. Don't let me go. 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 Picture. Under your command, I will be your guardian when all is crumbling. Steady your hand. You can never say never, while we don't know when, but time and time and time again, younger now than we were before. So
morning about Valentine's Day, so I'm wondering what you guys have in store for Valentine's Day, because I would think being The Fray, all you have to do is write a song for your woman and be like, la 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 la, I love you baby, I love you baby, and that's it. So I'm just wondering what you guys
that's
do.
That's not it.
Yeah, the bar must be set pretty high for you guys.
Yeah.
The first time I met my wife, actually, like 3 hours into it, I was at a friend's house, and I was playing piano, because that's what I did. And she was watching me, and I was like, hey, can I play you a song? She's like, sure, whatever. So I played her. It's like breakup song from my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, dude.
And I finished the last note, and I was like, in 100. And she stood up and walked away. Didn't say a thing.
Oh,
and I was like, I must have this woman. So yeah, I think to some extent they see past the music and all that, and to our faults, straight to them. So I think, you know, for Valentine's and stuff, we just have to be home. I think that makes all the difference. And
so the bar isn't set high. It's pretty low.
It's just pretty low, actually. Here. Just to be there would be enough.
Succeeding.
You established that early on.
Yeah, we made sure that was going to happen. Okay.
Just show up. I was watching some footage last night of you guys performing live. I think it was the American Music Awards. Is that in November?
Yeah.
I'm curious because, you know, the producers strategically put, like, the biggest stars in the first couple of rows there for TV purposes. I'm wondering if you guys have ever done an award show like that and looked out and been, oh, my God, there's blank, 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 and been a little bit nervous about the performance.
Yeah. There was one thing where it was like Tony Bennett was there and
Stevie Wonder,
all these crazy people. Actually, the weirdest moment I had was for this Yamaha gig that I did, and it was like five artists, and then the surprise artist was Stevie Wonder. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, Stevie Wonder. And then they handed all of us mics, and they're like, go sing with him.
Oh.
And I didn't know the song, so I was like standing over there. And it was me and John Legend, and John was like wailing and doing his little Marvin Gaye dance. And I was like, oh, I could do that. So I started doing this like chicken dance. Thank God Stevie couldn't see me. But I found out later, I was like, I asked Ben, because Ben was there. I was like, dude, did you hear me? Was it okay? And he's like, your mic was not even turned on. You are so white.
Tell us about the new album. Like I said, it comes out February 3rd. So what to expect from it?
I think it's, we feel good artistically about it. Like, it's the next step. There's dynamics on this record that we didn't have on the last record. There's like the softer songs are more delicate, and the high energy songs are more intense and have more energy. I think we're just overall just proud of it as a collective, and we still have that Frey stamp on it. So February 3rd.
Is there an absolute final, like, finality to making a new album? Like, when you hit the last chord, the last note of the last song, do you guys realize, okay, it's done now, let's party, or is that really not the end?
Well, I wish. When was that last chord? I think we all had... You bought like Captain Nelson's. What was that?
It was something. Yeah, I remember something mildly amusing story about that, John. I remember playing the last note on my pianos and stuff like that. And we was at the studio in Denver, and I hit it, and like I went home, and I was like breathing deep, and I thought it was gonna be over. And then there was like 6 months of mixing and mastering.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
We wrote this other song that everybody freaked out. We're like, that's a hit, and it didn't make the record, so. Maybe we should have put it on there. But yeah, it feels like it won't quite be done until Tuesday.
Yeah.
When it comes out. It's like, well, can't change it now because you just bought it.
So how many songs do you record, and then how many make the album?
We narrowed it down. We recorded probably like 20-some, like rough demos and just kind of sketching stuff out. And then actually in the studio, it was like probably 14 songs or 15. So yeah, I narrowed it down to about 10, and all of those that didn't make it were horrible. Well, not horrible, but there was just some fell apart, like in the studio, and didn't come out the way you wanted it to. So, yeah, you just kind of narrow it down.
If the album comes out Tuesday morning, do you guys sleep Monday night because you're so excited? It doesn't matter anymore. You're very zen with it, or is that a day that you track how many sales? Or that's just not important, you guys.
I think we're doing a morning show at 4 a.m. So yeah. We'll be up.
Yeah,
we used to say. Yeah. My tour manager just got so tired just then.
He's like, when will it end?
No, last record I went into Best Buy or something and picked it up, and the guy was like, will there be anything else? And I was like, no, just this. And I went to breakfast with my wife and just waited for the texts to come in.
You see SoundScan, there's one sale and it was yours.
Yeah, it was a pretty first week for the brand.
Hey, good luck on Tuesday, guys. I hope it goes great. And thanks to the Fray for coming on in. They played last night at Variety Playhouse and woke up this morning and came in and hung out with you guys at Q100. So thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for
having me. And good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you.
The Fray, Burt Show, Q100.
The Burt Show.
So we have a debate that I don't know how much I'll be able to weigh in on because, I mean, I'll have an opinion, obviously, but everyone in this room has a sibling except for me. So, and Paige, Paige has a sibling-related issue.
Okay.
So I may, I'll offer up an opinion, but this is going to be yours and then callers to help out.
Okay. You said that so sad.
I know, just me.
Oh, he's not sad that he got all the attention and all the goodies and... Yeah, all the booty.
Yeah, I'm fine.
No hand-me-downs.
All the what? Booty.
Yeah.
Booty. Yeah. What kind of family did you grow up in?
No, like pirate booty, dude. But yeah, so no.
Just so you know, I didn't grow up on the high seas. Hey, Paige, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay.
So you're having some loyalty issues.
Yes, okay. Definitely. I really need your help.
All right, what's going
this
on?
This is your brother versus your best friend.
Exactly. Mm.
Tell us the story.
Okay.
Well, she's been my best friend since middle school. We've been friends for a very long time. I love her. She's like my sister. And she is my sister because she's married to my brother.
So that's cool. Oh.
So they're married. Okay, gotcha, gotcha. Okay. All right.
So my brother had to take on an extra job. The economy is affecting everyone, and it's affecting his family. Well, not an extra job. He took an extra shift where he works.
Okay.
Okay.
And he had this agreement with my best friend, his wife, to cut back on going out to eat and shopping. And they have this a housekeeper come in and clean. And they agreed that they would stop with that. And my best friend, she does the financing for the household.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she... She still goes out to lunch with me all the time. She still goes shopping, and she kept the housekeeper. So mm-hmm. she has this housekeeper come in and clean the whole house, and then she tells my brother that she cleans the house. So she's lying to him about this.
Okay.
I see how tired and exhausted he is when he comes home. I see how this is affecting him.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't have to work this extra shift if my girlfriend had... stop doing the things they had agreed on stopping.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it seems like such a clear-cut decision to me, but go ahead. I wonder where the confusion comes in.
The question is, do you tell your brother what his wife is doing?
Right, because if she were married to anyone else in the world, I wouldn't care. I still get to go out to lunch with my best friend. You know what I mean?
So if your best friend seriously was not married to your brother and she was doing all these things that made her life so easy and he was busting his butt and exhausted thinking that he needed to do that to support the family, you wouldn't say anything to your best friend?
I wouldn't say anything to her husband.
Right. Well, I mean, have you said something to your best friend about how this is kind of, this is wrong?
Yes, I have made little, I can't believe, you know, are you sure we can be doing this or... do you want me to pay for lunch today and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't come out and say, hey, you know, my brother's working extra hard for you. I have not sat down with her and done that, no.
Well, it seems like that's number one to me. Because I do think, I mean, in this situation, you know, I do believe in family. And so I have to say that even though my best friend since middle school, he's been my brother since, you know, forever. And the fact that he is, it's just, he's being deceived and he is working so hard and y'all are going to lunch together. I mean, it sounds like you're just very flippant about, oh, and I get to still have my lunches and whatever.
Right.
I actually disagree. I say stay out of it. I mean, this is a married couple.
Right.
And this is, you know, their business. It's the way they want to handle their life. And, you know, I just think that you need to keep your nose out of it. I'd say stop going
to lunch with you, though.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely do that.
Then the brother will be mad at you, too, for enabling it. But who told you about the finances? Because guys generally won't talk about, hey, this is what I'm doing. So if your brother found out that you were still going to lunch with her, would he be mad at you? Like, does he know that you're not supposed to be, she's not supposed to be dining out?
Yeah, he probably would. He would probably say something to me.
Hey, Bailey, welcome to the Burt Show.
Hi. I think she should definitely stay out of it and just talk to her best friend and tell her why she's not going to go to lunch with her. I mean, it's crazy. You're going to lose both of them, honey, if you get involved with this. They're going to both be mad.
Right.
Hey, Stacy, welcome to the show.
Hi, I just wanted to agree with the other caller and say stay out of it. It is none of your business whatsoever, and no good can come from it.
Hey, Asia, welcome to the show.
Hi, yes, I want to say on one note, stay out of it. You know, it's none of your business, but you're just as guilty. Like how you, you know, you're concerned about your brother and him working hard, but you're not stop. You're not stopping the lunches, though. You're mm-hmm. still going.
That'd be offensive to me.
I try to pay for it every time.
I mean, but yeah, that really is a kind of like, yeah. You know, okay, you're still condoning. Like, okay, well, cool. You sure we could do this? And if she says, yeah, you're like, all right, I'm with it. But my brother is really working hard.
I'm saying that I have been to lunches and dinners with friends where it's like, you pay for it, I pay. There are ways to actually pay for a meal and not, because I, you know, her going, well, I try to pay for it. No, mm-hmm. there are ways you can do it. It just seems like, I don't know. I just a little offended by how just the fact that he is working so hard and she is still doing these things just, and you're participating in it. Just, I don't know.
Well, what would the conversation sound like, Melissa, with your brother? Like, how would you tell him?
I do agree that not to go behind her back and tell the brother. I agree. I see. I get where people are coming mm-hmm. from, but I do think I would be a lot more stern with my best friend because it's my brother. You know, like, this is your family, and I can't go to lunch with you anymore, and I can't do this, and I can't mm-hmm. endorse your housekeeper if he's busting his butt. I would totally give my full opinion because she knows you're his sister.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't think you're fighting hard enough.
Yeah. You're probably right. I just can't see myself starting a big fight with her. I've never had a fight
then
with her.
Then don't start a fight with her, but mm-hmm. you're going to lunch with her, and you're spending mm-hmm. his money that he doesn't realize is being spent on this.
Hey, Nancy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff and everybody. My
everybody.
Best friend was married to my brother for 7 years, and I had all these same issues, but not to the extent that she does, but it's just best to stay out of it because now they're divorced, and she was hiding bills from him, which I actually didn't know about, but it's just really ugly to the point that I can't speak to either one of them because she was deceiving my brother, and it's just terrible.
Now that they're divorced, do you regret not saying something to him?
Yeah, I did, and I said something to her when she got engaged to him. I said, you know, you're making a mistake. This is because I knew that the two of them weren't right for each other, but I never said it to him because he was just, you know, madly in love with her. But I wish I could go back now and you know, have warned him that she was the way that she was, and now there's kids involved, and it's just horrible.
Hey. That's easy to say looking back on it, though, once it's already over. Oh, I knew that was never
yes.
going to work, you know?
And then if they worked out great, I knew from the moment you guys met each other.
It was
you're compatible
yeah.
forever.
It's kind of like me saying that I knew Tracy was pregnant before she told us she was pregnant.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, unless you say it back then, you right. don't really get credit for it now right. to say, oh, they'll never work.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Patty, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to comment. You know, I have a brother, and he was dating my best friend at one time, and something was going on I found out about, and I let my brother know about it because of my loyalty to my brother, because he is blood first. And, yeah, he was really upset with me for a long time. But, you know, if she's really this girl's friend, if she wants to be a friend, then she should be offering to go over and help her clean her house and have lunch at home mm-hmm. and not going out.
Agreed.
That's how you support your friends.
Mm-hmm. To say that you see your brother exhausted when he comes home, and I don't know. I don't know. I feel like you're just being rude about it.
You're an enabler.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not imagine seeing my brother so exhausted and me actually spending his money behind his back and him not knowing it and feeling, I don't know. I just think that's so bad.
I understand what you're saying, and I should not go out to eat with her, and I should not do the things that I'm doing. It's not like I'm doing it every day, and I have cut back. I have said no. I'm not completely the enabler that I think I'm coming off as being, but yes, I am. I will agree that I have not done what I could be doing, but that's where I'm sitting. That's why I'm so, I don't know what to do. I don't know who to go to and say, listen.
Neither one. Know, I yeah. say neither yeah. one.
Either just cut the lunches.
Stay, yeah.
There's
stay
not,
out of the
just
lunch.
Just start helping.
Stay out of it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of times that we do topics on the show, like advice-type topics, mm-hmm. where the results are unanimous.
Mm-hmm. At least majority, even, because usually it's 50-50 split on mm-hmm. what you should do, but...
And everybody says you deal with your best friend, but for the most part, you stay out of the conflict. And that means you can't say anything to your brother.
Yeah. Okay.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate your help.
And, you know, feel comfort in the fact that, you know, it was a majority rule, which never happens on Q100.
That's true.
So, so you should be okay
with
that.
She's relieved. I think you're relieved.
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. I am. It's going to be very difficult for me to stay out of it, but... I'll just say no to the lunches. That'll help.
Say no to lunch.
Coaching her way through it. She's like, just say no.
Yeah, I don't believe that she's going to be able to do it, but she's trying.
Just say no to lunch.
No to lunch and no to shopping and no.
Yeah.
Good. Good luck, Paige.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
The Burt Show.
So here she is. Phone screener Sean has been telling us now for weeks and weeks and weeks. This online dating thing, it's for desperate people. It doesn't work. It's stupid.
Well, the alternative is to have Jessica set you up with someone.
I think I'd go with Match if I
were. Yes, stay online.
So if you weren't listening a couple of weeks ago, we sort of challenged Sean and said, okay, look, you haven't even tried the thing. You're making a judgment about online dating, but you've never actually gone on a date after you've met somebody online. So she did a few weeks ago, and it didn't go great. And when I say great, it sucked.
It was boring. It was dull. And I was talking the whole time, and he just sat there. It was very nervous.
Part of that was your fault, though.
How?
Because you just picked a guy randomly instead of doing what you should do when you go online. Mm-hmm. And that is, like, fill out the whole questionnaire. They match you with somebody that has like interests of you. And then you go on the date with somebody that you have something in common with. You just randomly picked one.
He looked fun in his pictures.
You gotta go with
tell by pictures, I guess.
Everybody can look fun in a picture.
Which at the end of the date, he didn't want to wind up taking a picture with me. So that just...
I can't put that on
that
him.
That was weird.
I'm putting that one on you.
Okay. Yep.
Did he look fun in his picture because his mouth was open?
Yeah.
Or you did one out face? You're having the best time ever. Hey!
He actually did in one.
He did.
Yeah. See? Aww. You look fun.
The little Mento smile. So we said, all right, let's do this the right way. Go ahead, go online, fill out the questionnaire, find somebody that you have something in common with, 70%, 80%, 90% commonality. So that was our homework assignment.
Yes.
And it happened this weekend.
It did. We had a lot of the same interest in music, and so we would talk about that a lot. And he asked me to go out on a date with him, and we went to the Plaza Theater, which I've never been to, but it was a really cool place.
I can't believe you found someone that you're compatible with, like Bert said, who's not in jail or therapy.
Not that I know of. And so we went there and
could
we saw
the furlough and it just wasn't his time for his session.
Or he could be like that. What was that guy's name? Special K or whatever? That weekend jail?
Yeah. It's a furlough type deal.
Yeah.
So somebody find him for me.
He only has to go in Monday through Friday or something.
How many times did you talk to him online or did you speak to him on the phone before he said, hey, let's meet up this weekend?
He was one of the first ones to actually send me a message. So probably, I guess, a week and a half, as long as I had the profile.
Okay.
We just went back and forth. He sent me like a whole page and I would respond a paragraph because I didn't want to give away too much. I'm going to leave a little mystery.
Sure. What was in his profile that made you think, okay, this guy that this might work out with?
It was kind of actually like mine. Oh, just boy. Kind of random little like spurts of I like this and this and that. And his music taste was really good. And so we went to see the Blues Brothers, which I've never seen. And that was just a hilarious movie. We didn't do much talking because in a movie you can't really talk. But we talked about 15 minutes before and after. And
the original Blues Brothers movie?
I guess so.
Yeah.
From back in the day?
The 80s,
they're screening it.
Oh, are they? Mm-hmm. All right. So you go there. You talk to them for about 15 minutes. You go into the theater. You come out. You guys do anything after that?
No, because it was like 10:30. And I get up early. I'm an old lady.
On the weekend?
Oh, no, it was Thursday night.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And usually, typically, movie dates, you know, are pretty lame, but that was a different sort of approach to it.
Isn't that kind of a cop-out? If a guy tells you he's taking you to a movie for the very first time, doesn't it seem too easy?
Movie dates in general as a first date is a bad idea.
Sounds very eighth grade to me.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
Not if you're going to a classic movie. Like, it's different. It's not like you're going to see Blart.
It's sort of a different angle.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of creative. It's a little bit different. And I think when you're total strangers, because it's basically a blind date, you know what I mean? Then it's kind of nice to have that buffer in there. You know, if it was somebody that you had met through a friend and you'd already had conversation and stuff, you knew them already, then maybe the first date would be the cop-out. But it sounds like it was the right thing.
Yeah, he even mentioned that it was probably pretty lame at first, but it was a good idea, I thought, okay. And creative.
All right.
And he works at a college bookstore. That's what he does for a living. So he's pretty chill, indie looking, and
smart.
He looked different from the pictures.
Better when you saw him?
Worse.
His hair just had this thing going on, but I guess worse.
Worse.
But wasn't, you know, he was average looking.
He was better looking in his picture online than he is in person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine that.
That's usually how it happens.
Yeah, right. Did you feel any sort of like chemistry with him? Like, was it?
I think it might be more of a friend. Like, I could see myself hanging out with him a lot.
And just being friends.
Yeah. But he does want to go out again this week.
There's something different about this guy, because the first guy you railed on and you had no problem, and now it feels like we're pulling teeth to get information out of you. You're like, yeah, he was good looking.
Well, I don't know. I liked his style, and he was cute, but I don't know.
At least you're giving him another chance, so something must have gone right.
Yeah, you're not supposed
to know. I'm
not
closing the book. I might go out with him again.
You're not supposed to know after the first date, you know?
No, no. Okay. And we only talked about 30 minutes altogether, so...
Has it changed your mind at all about online dating?
No. And I think that may be what is still, you know, keeping me far away, because I still think it's desperate.
So you're thinking like the story that you might have to tell eventually that you guys met on an online date is keeping you from actually hanging out with the guy more?
Yeah, your soulmate, you're supposed to, you know, find them, not online, not narrow searches down.
Hmm.
I understand her point. I don't necessarily agree, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. I think Jen should make a profile.
Oh, she's doing fine. You don't got to worry about her.
I'm avoiding Facebook. I'm not going on online dating.
You don't got to worry about that. Okay, well, keep us posted. Sounds like nothing really has changed. Your attitude is still the same about it.
No, but I mean, there's some decent people on there. I'll give you that.
Okay.
Are you exchanging emails with other people?
I haven't checked it since I went out with him, so you might be thinking I'm avoiding it because I found the one.
It does feel like you're holding back on us.
Yeah, you totally are. Something's going on.
Mm-hmm. Nothing?
No.
Liar.
No.
Did you spend the night at your house?
Maybe. Did I spend the night at his?
Did you spend the night at his house?
No.
Something's up.
I didn't.
I don't know. It is like pulling teeth to get any info out of you. Something's up.
Well, I mean, there wasn't much to... I guess there's not much of a story to it just because we didn't spend too much time.
You know, here's what it is. It's she's starting to be proven wrong. So she's, you know, a little thrown by the fact that she came so strongly and said, I will not like dating. I'll never find anyone. Then she goes out with this dude who's actually kind of cute and fun. He likes music and took her to a quirky movie and probably talked about, you know, ways to hide a body and other stuff that interests her. So she's like, huh.
You're getting close to having to label yourself desperate if you continue to go out with this guy.
No. I'm always right. I will never be wrong. It's desperate.
Well, there's one right there. You're wrong right there.
You're on The Burt Show. Listen, it's The Burt Show.
So I have to, I was out yesterday running around Sandy Springs, and I took a picture of something, and I don't know if we can talk about it on the air.
Okay.
But I'm going to show it to you guys.
It's not the Alcoholics Anonymous building, is it?
No.
That was yesterday.
That was me.
Sorry.
It's not the arson fire,
I'm
is
a
it?
Jerk.
No. I was at the Jason's Deli in Sandy Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Yum. I want some potato salad.
And as I was leaving, I saw a car with a personalized license plate.
Okay.
Oh.
Did you see this?
No.
You haven't seen it yet?
Okay. I saw this.
Okay, so we're automatically, do we automatically pass a little bit of judgment on people with personalized plates?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw a car with...
Even though I've been tempted before, but no.
I saw a car with a personalized plate.
Okay.
And so I swung around to see what it said, because it's a long story, but that I have a contest going on with someone about personalized plates.
Okay.
That story's irrelevant.
Contest or bet?
Contest.
Okay.
That part's irrelevant. What's relevant is what the license plate said.
Okay.
So, Wendy, you've seen it. Melissa, come over here.
Okay.
Anybody who has not seen it, come around here.
Okay.
I don't know if I can reveal, even say what this said on the air.
I don't think you can.
I don't think this...
Oh, really?
I don't think this license plate should be legal.
Okay.
Like, if I can't say it on the air, the license plate can't be legal, right?
I don't know.
You'd think.
Oh.
Oh. I know what it is for, though.
I know what it's for, too.
Well, when you go to get your personalized tags, they... ask you the meaning of it. Like, so if you have something that's suggestive, they'll make you explain exactly what it means.
Right, but
so
still, that's...
That's a South Carolina fan.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's still not...
So if anybody's familiar with South Carolina's...
College
mascot,
team.
Mascot, then
the
you
mascot
know...
Mascot are mm-hmm. the Gamecocks.
Right. Right.
But
so
you have to condense it.
Right. And you can't fit Gamecocks on a license plate.
Right. And they're fans.
So if you shorten it...
Yes.
Say, blank fan.
You're but right. if you're in the Combo. Car... If you're in the car... With your child,
yeah,
and you're behind this Jeep.
See, well, that Jeep, they knew. I mean, they got away with it because South. I'm surprised that
it was allowed.
The DMV allowed that to happen because, yeah, they're usually really strict about profanity,
cuss words, or anything, right?
Mm-mm. Right.
And there are certain.
But you know that that's what they say. It's South Carolina. I'm telling you, it's the University of South Carolina. And then they laugh because they got away with something.
But there is there was a case. Or a thing that made it into the newspaper that I remember where a couple was no longer allowed to keep their personalized plates because her name was Harriet and his name was Donald. And the state that they were in that had a little emblem in the middle. So the first part of the license plate would be on the left side of the emblem and the second part. So she would use the first three letters of her name
right.
and the first three letters of his name.
Mm-hmm.
But then they changed the design of the license plate and they put the little emblem on the other side. So then it just became one word.
Mm-hmm.
So the first three letters of Harriet and the first three letters of Donald.
Sure.
Even though there's a good reason for it, still not
becomes
an acceptable.
Offensive.
Still not an acceptable word.
Took me a second to put it two together. Yeah.
So that being said, I mean, I don't care, but
I I would be shocked if I saw that, because I'd be like, what?
The best part about it is I called the person. I'm like, you know the contest we're having about the plates? I won.
But if you're not a college football fan, then you don't recognize
what
reason they used for that plate.
And I'll tell you,
because it can't be anything else.
Is there any better way to convince all of your straight guys that no, they can't borrow your car? Because I wouldn't drive that guy's car.
Right.
And I don't know a lot of guys that would.
I wonder, if it would be a homosexual male who's also a South Carolina student.
Right.
Or alumni.
At Pride, there's a lot of guys who are South Carolina fans with their hats.
Gotcha.
Even though they don't care about South Carolina.
Gotcha.
So.
And Oregon, a lot of lesbians love Oregon State.
Hey.
You just have to look it up.
Yeah.
Hey, Q.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Nothing much. How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Love the show. I saw it on your Facebook yesterday, and it is. I think it should be legal, but however, I totally agree with you. I would not borrow that car under any circumstances.
Yes, that is a great way. You know how people always, if you got an SUV, people are like, "Hey, want to help me move?"
Right.
Not this guy.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.